As we go marching, marching, we bring the greater days. The rising of the women means the rising of the race. No more the drudge and idler tend that toil where one reposes, but a sharing of life's glories, bread and roses, bread and roses.
And you're tuned to 3CR Community Radio for the May Day special broadcast. You're here on 855 AM through all the W's at 3cr.org.au or via 3CR Digital. I'm Mercedes, co-host of A Friday Rave and Uprise Radio here on 3CR, and for this May Day special broadcast, we will highlight the stories of worker women and their struggles and their strengths. The first part of this episode will play the story of the great ACT laundry strike of 1987, as told by Alba Cruz. Alba and her family found refuge in Australia following the military coup that overthrew Allende in 1973 after being involved in the leftist struggles in Chile. Alba tells the story of racism against migrant women workers in the Canberra hospital, casualisation, and unequal pay conditions. The union convened and the decision was made to strike. She tells of the strength and solidarity between the women on the picket line and the power that came from it. This part of the program was produced by our comrade Tanya McConville in 2001 for an NEMBC series documenting the contribution of migrant women in the workforce. A special thanks to Elba for telling this powerful story of worker solidarity and for Tanya for the audio. You can find the whole episode of Elba's story and more of Tanya's incredible programs and stories from decades on the front line through the link on the May Day special broadcast page on the 3CR website. And this is Elba's story of the great ACT laundry strike of 1987.
Before I got to the laundry, I was cleaning in Warden Valley Hospital, which is called Canberra Hospital now. I was sent to the laundry to clean one morning to reply someone. The clean is a very heavy job. I had to get up very early in the morning. And my kids were alone in the morning going to school. And I thought, maybe this is a better alternative for me. And I came home with the papers and I told my daughter and my husband, and my daughter said, "Mom, I think one of my friends from the school, Mom, worked there. I'm going to ask them." And she did. And she talked to her and she said, "Oh, yes, I'll talk to one of the bosses and maybe they employ your mom." And they did. But it was some very good pie, very heavy job, very repetitive, and very structured in a social way where they made people to feel some of them better than others. Like they had areas separated where they had teach people, for example, to do the dry cleaning, okay? They had another area where they taught those people to do the packing, to send all the packing to the hospital, what sort of linen they had to take. So they had to get older, pack the trolley and send it. And some of those people felt they were better or felt in a better position or feel high up when they had earning the same amount of money and doing practically the same thing than others that we were putting close to the lines, you know, or sorting up the dirty linen in the sorting area. You know, they created this atmosphere amongst people. Everybody did their job. They come in and out, and that was it. They used to talk amongst themselves. When I got into the laundry, I was outsider because I was somebody. They call me the little woman, the Chilean little woman. Because I was quite small compared to everybody else. It was European, Finnish people, Croatian, Yugoslavians, some Anglo, English. I was the first one, like I said, working there, Latin person or speaking Spanish person. And then another fellow came to clean there, one of the Chilean guys, and said, oh, you're working here? Yeah, I started here. He said, could you get a job for my wife? And they start pushing to get. So then start a lot of Latino people start coming there since that I was there with the bosses. Some of them were quite okay, but the bigger boss controlled the whole scene. And for some reason, he didn't like me from the day he saw me because I was different. I was looking different, and I was short, and I didn't speak English. And he thought, you know, this woman, where she come from? He was used to talk to the Finnish people, the Croatian, in a very broken English, not that my English perfect. But I think he was, he didn't like me anyway. They decided they was going to employ people permanently because they had a lot of people that were only casual. They had us casual, dressing in white uniform, and the permanent people were dressing a blue uniform. They created already, as soon as you got there, already division amongst people. You know, if you had a white uniform, you were only casual and you thought you're not that important because you had to wait your time if they're going to employ you permanently. So they made everybody permanent at the time. That would have been like about 30 people, 35, something like that. And except three of us, another Finnish lady and a Yugoslavian lady that she had started only a couple of months previous, and me that I was a year and a half. And they employed someone, they put someone permanently that had been there only 3 months, and she was a big, strong, you know, Yugoslavian woman. I got nothing to say, she was really nice, but I thought it was very unfair, you know, that I had been there a year and a half. So one morning, I went in and saw the big boss, the manager, because the other one, they were like the floor managers, but this was the office manager. And I said, meeting so-and-so, why I didn't get one of the position? And he said, because, and he didn't know what to say. And I said, well, tell me, I wanted to know. And I said, because when you apply for a job somewhere, you're supposed to know why you not succeed. And he said, well, I'm going to tell you the truth. The truth is that I've been told that you are late every day. And I said, excuse me? And that you are late every day. And I said, no, that's not. I do come late sometimes, 5 minutes late, but that's not every day. And 5 minutes late, I don't think it's been late because many times we leave a lot more than 5 minutes late from the floor when we're working. It happened that the union people came around, and I recognized one of them. And I said, this is what happened here. They made everybody permanent except three people, and one of them is me, and two of us have been here a long time. One of the other ladies been longer than me, and a new person. And you know, I want you to ask the bosses what happened, why don't I do the job like everybody else? Why is that? And they went to the office and talked to the boss, and then about an hour later, they called everybody to the cafeteria and said, look, this is not okay. And they made me talk and said, you know, and I said, yes, and I'm very angry about it, and, you know, and I talked to them. And people said, you know, and I want your support. And I said, I want your support because this is done to the three of us. Next time could be done to some other people. And we don't know anything what's going on in this place. And it's not fair. And everybody said, all right. So what do you want us to do? And said, well, we're going in a strike, the union said. And have, you know, everybody put your hands up if, you know, you would support it. And everybody put their hands up and support, and we all went out. We went out for about 2 weeks. a lot of people, they when the first question was asked, like everybody look around themselves and what are these people are talking about? And whoever was there that he could understand more, they would say, oh, blah, 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 in their own language. And so even me, I had to explain to my other co-workers in my own language about what was happening, because a lot of them, they had been just come to Australia a year earlier or 2 years earlier, so they didn't speak English either. So that was incredible what happened there in the cafeteria. I think what happened is, it's not about so much about the strike. I think people were ready to have a relationship with each other. I think people was ready to know where we were coming from, who we were practically, because like everybody was coming to work and nobody knew much about except amongst themselves and each culture that they were there. And I think they were ready to open up and, you know, and have a more standard relationship, because the division, it was so well known there. But the first day in the morning, it was just great, because we all were decided and waiting to see what was happening. And the media got a lot of interest. All the newspapers came and all the TV channels. So we were in every, you know, for those 10 days, we were every day in the news. For me, it was so excited to see everybody there. So, and I remember people from my community ringing me up and said, oh, we saw you in the news again. When you are going to stop? And I said, well, we're not ready yet to stop. And we are going to be there until we resolve this, you know. And he said, are you scared? No. And I said, what would I be scared in this country? I feel I've been told this country is free. And it's a, you know, I would express what I feel. And we got a few other scenes when we were in a strike. We thought it was unfair to have, in, you know, distinctive uniform for different people. That we wanted everybody, if it was going to have uniform, everybody should have it the same. That it should not be discriminated. And that also that the line should be rotated, that not every, you know, that it should not be made in a social way that, you know, the people who do the dry cleaning, that only do the dry cleaners, and the parking is only parking. They should be rotated, because a lot of people were getting RSR and getting sick. So they agreed to all of that, to make a lot of changes. And we're supposed to go back to work the next day when the union came out and said, you know, are you happy with this? And I said, yes, I'm happy with all of that. We was going to go back to work the next day. And then the boss decided to drive the car around the picket line. We were in a picket line in front of the laundry. It was well known in Canberra. You know, every night was in the news that, you know, the laundry, Michelle Laundry, was on a strike and all of that. And so instead of coming from the outcoming traffic, he went through the incoming traffic. And he, because we were on the road towards the incoming traffic, so he came that way out, and he nearly ran someone over, and it was very scary. And he did it in a very fast in his car. So that's, we said, that's it. All the negotiation ended here, until he tells us why he did this, and he gets sacked or removed from the laundry. We don't want him anymore. And we did that. We went for a strike for another week, and they did remove. Well, he went into sick leave, and he had a stress, and, you know, all the stuff that happened when people like them do those sort of things. You know, they get their way out very easy. So he went on a stress leave, and then from the stress leave, he never came back to the laundry. And that's made things a lot easier for all of us, and people start talking about a bit more, and people start to be more friendly, because we had created this friendship among the picket line that women never had been in a picket line, never been in a strike before. And so, because everybody thought, you know, they are in this country, they're grateful to be here, they're grateful to have a job, and so you're not going to go on a strike. So those people had that tremendous experience to be in a picket line and talking to amongst the others. Some, you know, we all managed to communicate somehow there. That they lost the fear of being on a strike. They lost the fear of knowing other people, and they lost the fear of the reaction of the bosses or the employee. And, you know, it was a very different atmosphere, a friendship, a camaraderie amongst the women there, amongst the everybody. We talk and we share what we had. And the change that I saw after that strike, because it was women that they never been on a strike. It was women they never would drop the vote, because they thought, you know, we are here, we're grateful, we are in this country, we've got to work hard, we've got to produce, we've got to show we are good people. But because that's the way they thought they had to do it. After that, people were a lot relaxed, and they, you know, they didn't care that much anymore. You know, if the work was done, if it wasn't, it wasn't. But people wasn't, you know, killing themselves anymore. And everybody at the end was a winner, because I didn't only win for myself. It was a lot more that came out of there that the people probably wanted for a long time, but were too scared to ask. When I look back, I think if I had stayed quiet, nothing would have happened. Oh, we wait, we
were so fun in the bed. And you're tuned to the Mayday Special broadcast on Community Radio 3CR. You might be listening on 855 AM through 3cr.org.au or via 3CR Digital. You just heard from Alba Cruz telling the story of the Great ACT Laundry Strike in 1987 at the Canberra Hospital. The next part of this broadcast is a speech from Taslima Akhtar and Rupali Akhtar, recorded at the 2023 Mayday for Freedom and Liberation Rally at State Library. Taslima is the president of the Bangladesh Garment Workers Solidarity, and Rupali is a survivor of Rana Plaza, the garment factory that collapsed on the 24th of April 2013, killing over 1,100 workers and injuring thousands more. 12 years after Rana Plaza collapsed, workers in Bangladesh are still fighting for justice. In Bangladesh, women make up the majority of workers in the ready-made garment sector, known as RMG. As a whole, 60.8% of all working women being employed in the sector. However, poor working conditions, low wages, irregular wage payment, extended working hours, and lack of job security have long been and remain significant problems of the industry. Bangladesh Garment Workers Solidarity is a labour rights organisation that fights for the labour rights of RMG workers, including livelihood, safety for workers, a safe work environment, injury, compensation, punishment of labour rights violations, and trade union rights. The primary focus of the organisation is to increase the minimum wage of RMG workers to an amount which will ensure better living standards. Physical attacks by the police during protest marches or sit-in protests is a common form of backlash faced by Bangladesh Garment Workers Solidarity, as well as other trade unions in Bangladesh. Although the Bangladesh Labour Act, which was amended in 2013, promotes freedom of association, trade union registration remains highly politicized, and the Bangladesh Garment Workers Solidarity has been denied registration multiple times. Moreover, the union leaders are under constant surveillance by the state and the market owners. And furthermore, due to restrictive gender norms, women workers are not encouraged and even sometimes prohibited to join trade unions by their families. From Saraka Garment Fire incident in 1990 to the Rana Plaza collapse in 2013, thousands of workers in Bangladesh have died due to lack of workplace safety, security, and lack of accountability by the authorities. There have been slight changes in the situation since Rana Plaza, but workers are still fighting with and without trade unions for Better Compensation Act, safe workplace for women, and overall increase in the minimum wage to meet their basic needs. Beginning in October 2023, there have been uprisings by Bangladesh garment workers for pay rises and safety in the workplace. The movement has suffered brutal police repression during what is referred to as the wage war, and despite successes in the wage increases, the pay rise is still not at a dignified level. The massive workers' uprising was able to reach workers through various means to fight for their rights. The repression resulted in worker casualties, and the workers and unionists are demanding justice for their families. In August 2024, there was a brutal crackdown on Bangladesh garment workers by the government. Workers were met with shotgun rounds, tear gas, and sound grenades to quell their protests, and 44,000 unnamed arrest warrants for workers involved in the minimum wage protests. The fight for workers' rights in Bangladesh continues. The fight for justice for survivors of Rana Plaza and for those whose families were left behind continues. For more information and to support the Bangladeshi Garment Workers Solidarity, head to supwr.org, and you can also tune in to 3CR on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. for Asia Pacific Currents, produced by Australian Asia Worker Links. This is Taslima and Rapoli telling her story of the Rana Plaza disaster as a survivor and what she went through. Solidarity with Rapoli, Taslima and all Bangladesh garment workers in their ongoing struggles for justice.
Hello everybody, I'm Taslima Akhtar from Bangladesh. I'm the president of Bangladesh Garment Workers Solidarity. I want to give the mic to our another organizer, Rupali Akhtar, who is one of the survivors of Rana Plaza collapse. Maybe you know that more than 1,100 workers died in 2013. Rupali was there, and I want to give the mic to Rupali first to share some of her experience.
Dhanyabad chakolke. Bangladesh Garment Shromik Sanghati pokkho theke সকলকে অভিনন্দন এবং ভালোবাসা। আমি রানা প্লাজা শ্রমিক ছিলাম, রানা প্লাজা 17 ঘন্টা আটকে ছিলাম। আমি সেই রানা প্লাজার মধ্যে থেকে আমি বেরিয়ে এসেছি এবং আমাকে উদ্ধার করা হয় 17 ঘন্টা পর। আমি উদ্ধার হওয়ার পরে যখন লড়াই সংগ্রামে যুক্ত হই, তখন এক পর্যায়ে বুঝতে পারি রাজনীতি বিদটা কি, সে জিনিসটা বুঝতে পারি। আসলে সকল দুনিয়ার শ্রমিক যদি আমরা একসাথে কাজ করি এবং আমাদের সকলকেই বাঁচার জন্য আমাদের লড়াই করতে হয়, সেটাই আমাদের প্রধান কাজ।
Rupali says, I am Rupali Akhtar. I am from the Rana Plaza where more than 1,100 workers died. I was there and rescuer rescued me. I was there for 17 hours. It was a traumatic experience for me. But after getting out from this death trap, I tried to understand the reality. And after a few days, I engaged myself with political activism, unionism, and now I feel that it is very important to organize all workers, not only in the country, but also in all over the world.
আমি রানা প্লাজারে আমি প্রথম যেদিন যুক্ত হই 24 এপ্রিল, সেদিন সকালবেলা আমি আসলে অনেক দিক থেকে বাধা আসছিল। তার আগের দিন আমাকে ছুটি দেওয়া হয়। আমি 24 এপ্রিল আমি জোর করে অফিসে আসি যে আজ যদি আমি অফিস না করি তাহলে আমাকে বেতন কাটা হবে। তার ফলে আমি সেদিন আমি অফিসে আসি বাধ্যতামূলক। আমি যখন গেটের সামনে এসে দেখি যে অনেক লোকজনের ভিড়, তখন আমি ওখানে দাঁড়িয়ে পড়ি। দাঁড়িয়ে পড়ার পরে আমাকে অনেকে জিজ্ঞেস করতেছে, লাইন সুপারভাইজার এবং অফিসার, ফলোর ইনসার্স, আজকে অফিস করতে হবে, না করলে তোমাদের বেতন কাটা যাবে। তা বাধ্যতামূলক আমাকে সেই দিনটা আমাকে অফিস করতে হয়। ফুল এক ঘন্টা ওখানে কাজ করা হয়েছিল। আমি এক ঘন্টার মধ্যে থেকে আমার পায়ের তলা থেকে মাটি কীভাবে সরে গেল আমি বুঝতে পারিনি।
Rupali is sharing her experience. She says that in 2013, on 24th April, I was not mentally ready to go the factory. But that day was 24th April, and we have only 6 days to get our wage. So we have some news about the crack, but we are not sure, and we were bound to go the factory. And after 1 hour working, I found that I am going down, but I couldn't understand what is going on, and I never thought that I could save my life.
আমি তারপরে আমি যখন আমার ভাঙ্গার দিক থেকে আমি যখন আমি একা বুঝতে পারিনি আমি যে আমি এখানে আজও বেঁচে আসবো কিনা, কিন্তু আমার আমার নিচে আমার ফ্রেন্ড বান্ধবী ছিল, উনি নাম ছিল তানজিলা আক্তার। আমার উপরে একজন ছিল, তার নাম ছিল রুকসানা আক্তার। আমি তার মাঝখানে ছিলাম, আমার আশেপাশে অনেক লোকজন ছিল, তারপরে লাইন সুপারভাইজার, অন্য লাইনের কোয়ালিটি। আমরা এই 17 ঘন্টা পর্যন্ত একসাথে কাটিয়েছি। তার মধ্যে থেকে একজন একজনকে বলতেছি যে আমি যদি আগে বের হই আমি সকলকে বের করব, একজন একজনকে এই কথাগুলো বলতেছি। তারপর আমাকে প্রথম উদ্ধার করা হয়। আমি আমি বলতে চাই যে আমরা বাংলাদেশে এবং দুনিয়ার যত শ্রমিক শ্রেণী, আমি বলতে চাই সারা দুনিয়ার, শুধু বাংলাদেশেরই নয়, বাংলাদেশের এবং দুনিয়ার যত শ্রমিক শ্রেণীর লোক আছি, আমরা যত শ্রমিক শ্রেণীর লোক, আমরা সকলে মিলে হাতে হাত মিলিয়ে কাজ করতে চাই, এবং আমাদের শ্রমিকের জীবন এবং মান সম্মান বাঁচাতে, আমাদের অধিকার ফিরিয়ে পেতে আমাদেরকে যুক্ত হয়ে আমাদের শক্ত হয়ে লড়াই করতে হবে। এবং আজকের আজকে পয়লা মে দিবস উপলক্ষে সকলকে ধন্যবাদ, এবং দুনিয়ার মজদুর এক হও, লড়াই করো।
রূপালি সেজ দ্যাট I was under the rubble for 17 hours. I saw one of my close friend who was died under the beam, and her name was Roxana, and her body was just I was just on her dead body, and on me there was another live worker, so it was not very easy for me to spend 17 hours in a collapse with a dead body and with many others comrades. All of we are thinking how we can save each other, and we were talking that if we can save each person, we will of course save all other from the trap. So my realization is that we need to be unite, all working class people, to save each other. Workers of the world, unite. Thank you.
And that was Taslima Akhtar and Rupali Akhtar, president and organizers of the Bangladesh Garment Workers Solidarity, and Rupali, a survivor of the Rana Plaza disaster. You're listening to the Mayday special broadcast on Community Radio 3CR. Special thanks to Elba, Taslima, Rupali and Tanya for your contributions to workers' struggles, the fight for justice, and for telling your stories. Workers of the world, unite. Ending this program is audio from the Second National Council for Bangladesh Garment Workers Solidarity, which was held on the 2nd of December 2022 at Shabbat Dhaka, where the members of the struggle and their allies came together to present their demands through music, poetry, procession, and speech.
প্রধানমন্ত্রী আমাদের মা এইভাবে যে উপস্থাপন করা হয়, এর চাইতে আত্মঘাতী আর কিছু হতে পারে না। তাতে মনে হয় যে আপনি দয়া চাচ্ছেন। করোনা চাষ তখন মালিক বলবে যে ঠিক আছে তোমরা অনেক অভাবে এত নাও আর পাচ্ছা না, এটা দয়া দাক্ষিণের ব্যাপার, এটা হচ্ছে আপনাদের অধিকারের বিষয়।
জ্বালানি তেলের দাম দফায় দফায় বৃদ্ধি পেয়েছে এবং তার সাথে সংগতি রেখে কোনোভাবেই শ্রমিকের জীবনের মান বৃদ্ধি হয় নাই। সব নেতৃত্ব যাতে তৈরি না হয় তার জন্য মালিকের লোক, গোয়েন্দা সংস্থার লোক নানাভাবে গুনে রাখা হয়েছে শ্রমিক এলাকায়। নতুন নেতৃত্ব মজুরি আন্দোলন সহ সকল আন্দোলন ঐক্যবদ্ধভাবে এগিয়ে নেবেন। এখন আমাদের একটি মিছিল হবে এবং সেই মিছিলের পরে আমাদের দ্বিতীয় অধিবেশন হবে। সকলকে অনেক অনেক শুভেচ্ছা, ভালোবাসা এবং ধন্যবাদ।
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.